canción. Mi corazón quiere cantar así.
Welcome back. This is Black on Black on Black. Just to give you a rundown of what you just heard. So we kicked it off with a little bit of Hardest Essay Ever, the Mexican OT, followed by Cumbia Sobre el Rio by Celcio Piña. And that was actually, that song I really, really like. And that genre I really, really like, because that's Mexican cumbia, which there's Mexican cumbia, and then where cumbia is from is actually Colombia. And so they're very different vibes. Like, I think Mexican cumbia is, like, very up-tempo. It's really up-tempo, whereas Colombian cumbia is, like, it's more slower. It has a lot more of the traditional African kind of rhythm in it that it began from, because cumbia is from African slaves that were brought to Colombia. So after that song, we had Oye Mi Amor by Mana, and that is actually Latin rock, for those of you who don't know. And that band is one of the biggest touring bands in Latin America, so check them out. They're awesome. And then finally, to round us out, we had Bidi Bidi Bamba by Selena. And then I will pass it back to my co-host.
Fantastic. Hey. You know, Bitty Bitty Bum Bum, that shit's always fire. Just,
man.
It just reaffirms our need to bring Selena back. Right. Versus Texas.
I felt so affirmed in that.
Yeah.
Felt really affirmed.
Yeah.
It was a hard...
It was a hard question, but... You know, it was the right answer.
I know.
And so, yeah, here's just going to provide a little bit of history about what is it about America and Cinco de Mayo, right? Because, as you learned from the last segment, that it's actually a celebration of a small battle, albeit powerful battle, won from an army of 2,000 versus 6,000, and the 2,000 army strong was, you know, severely underfunded from Mexico, and they won against the 6,000 French soldiers. And this is in Puebla, Mexico. So why is it so big here? So according to a Latine UCLA professor, Cinco de Mayo isn't Mexican at all, is what he says. Rather, its holiday has its roots mainly in the U.S., especially during the early days of the American Civil War. So by 1862... A year into that conflict of the Civil War, the Confederacy actually sought to keep black people, African Americans, in slavery, right? And they had expanded into New Mexico and Arizona and hoped to get all the way to Los Angeles. In response, groups of California Latinos joined the U.S. Army and organized units of Spanish-speaking cavalry in California and unoccupied portions of New Mexico. For the vast majority of Latinos in California, the professor was saying that the battles against the Confederacy in the U.S. and against French interventionist forces in Mexico were viewed as twin struggles for freedom and democracy. So, when news of Napoleon's defeat reached these communities, they celebrated the good news of parading through the streets of towns in California and Nevada, carrying the U.S. and Mexican flags side by side, signaling their commitment to freedom, racial equality, and democratic government. So the Mexican victory at Puebla had galvanized the disparate and independent juntas patrióticas mexicanas, mm-hmm. or the Mexican Patriotic Assemblies, which existed throughout California, into forming a strong statewide network that, in addition to raising funds to support President Juarez's wartime efforts, encouraged the ongoing public commemoration of the battle. And that is why, at its heart, Cinco de Mayo should rightfully be seen as a Mexican-American holiday, and one that has expanded to appear to other Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it got there, culturally, and then, you know, then of course you can go into the marketing efforts as well.
Yeah. I wish more of that history was actually taught in school, because I think to a lot of people, this holiday has nothing to do with people from Mexico. and right. it's all about just like some bullshit
tequila
and yeah the, and crazy stereotypes that get perpetuated on the day, mm-hmm. you know. And I think if there was more thought and intentionality put into teaching the history of why
yeah.
this became, who brought this forth and why it's important, it would really sort of become a day of grounding,
yeah,
and a great and a day of to really remember sort of the things that we want to embody within this country.
Absolutely. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the story of fighting 2,000 with only 2,000 soldiers against 6,000 is huge, mm-hmm. especially an army that is known for decimating armies around the world at yeah. the time. They're well funded. Like, you don't have enough money. Like, being able to do that is huge, and it's a sign of resistance, mm-hmm. you know. And that translates to today. Like, there can be this overwhelming feeling of like, oh my god, you know, the oppressors just have so much money, like we can't win, and that isn't always true. Mm-mm. Historically, it hasn't always been true, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, good strategy. No, underestimate good strategy in key pivotal moments. Because, like, it takes a lot of money
yeah.
to fund a war. Especially it takes a lot of money to fund a war that's not happening on your
continent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The amount of resources, plus you're taking away those resources from your own people.
Yeah.
And that fuels, like, internal strife, you right. know? So, like, yeah, it is possible to stress out a overwhelming hegemonic power. I mean, Haiti did it.
Yeah.
You know? The United States did it with Britain. I hate to, like, point that out, but yes.
No, I celebrate that. We did it.
We look at that no taxation, not representation. I would really love for that to come back. And for us to remember that fucking value. But here we are.
You know, it's just like, get rid of the Electoral College. Have every vote count.
Bro.
You know? Like that to me is real representation. Every vote should count.
Mm.
You know?
Hey, we're about that. First of all, this country would never become a country without that system.
I'm just saying. I feel like we have the sources now. It's not hard. Just do that shit. Every vote should count.
The more white people gonna die on that hill. and then we're gonna push them over, and then new white people are gonna take their place.
It sucks. But it's like, you know, if you're so popular and you're right, then, you know, you'll win.
Prove it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Prove it. If the majority of people who vote elect you, all
right,
good.
Right.
Good shit. Here we
go.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I think it's a really, really interesting, and I love the parallels, but the historical trace back to the American Civil War and slavery, you know, and the context of that, of why this became kind of a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I will forever be like, thanks, Mexico, for abolishing slavery way before America did.
Boy, I tell you, we always the last one to the party, bro.
For real. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, truly. Or we just go backwards. We just step back.
Incredibly. Yeah. We hop backwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really, really cool. And I know that, like we talked about earlier, I know that a lot of times this is just seen as a party holiday. And I don't want to take away from that. But I think it should be good for us to educate our younger children, especially as we face times of continued grief and, you know, increased strife, that, you know, fighting, no matter if the odds are stacked against you, is still the right thing to do.
I think I might be jumping ahead to the second segment. I had a question about, like, what does Cinco de Mayo look like in Houston,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whether there is, like, some sort of, like, historical events, some parades or even marches that happen, or, like, what does the celebration look like there? Because here, it's different.
Right. Yeah, we can get into that later.
Yeah. So we will jump back into our playlist and then hop into our last segment of the day. So jumping back in, we are going to start with a Lowrider classic, Lowrider by War. Enjoy.
A little higher.
My city takes round round in the hood of my amigos. Good dope in the automobile looking like burritos.
Bay City, Texas, round round in the hood with my amigos. Good dope in the automobile, looking like burritos. Shoot the opposite at your mama house, bullets go through the peephole. Got your girlfriend in the crib, and she be acting like a freak. I'm a Southside stepping, Texas, Misty. Round round three deep, me and Smith and Wesson. Hold it up with the yapping, then pop them teachers as a list. You could tell that's OT, cause his ass always flex. Walk gang, I'ma hit his thing, bop him in his brain, smoking like some Mary Jane, know what I'm saying, man? Take your bitch to the crib, move it on the train. 2-2, I'm the cock guy, matter of fact, I'm the dude. Go to my mouth when the dirty south, know I'm talking about dead missing OT, too cool. Run through the back, get the check, get the loot. Get it cracking with the status. I let him have the kaboom, pop, pop.
Yeah. Like, who fucking with me, man? You understand what I'm talking about? For real, man. Stop playing with me. You understand what I'm talking about? Whole lot of this, whole lot of that going on, man.
Hey, yo, is that that Mexican OT? Brown price outside from 979. If I say I'm down to ride, I really mean I'm down to die. You can run but can't hide, quiet like a samurai. Put them clippers to his head, my barber say he down to ride. She ain't talking about no money, make the whole kid rock. Put them beams on his body, just looking like chicken pox. I be beating in my pockets, I got them big knocks. I'ma rock around your block, got drums on big block. I'm Texas, made, get a Texas paid. That Moreno Mexicano be getting on both lanes. I'm sipping on dirty drink and smoking on big dank. Tipping on fofos, riding in the candy paint. Mama told me, look son, I'm a gangster, they running all blood. I ain't know I was gonna grow up and turn into a thug. Put a yapa in my hand, I let it rain, I let it flood. Keeping gates when I say I got it straight out the mud. I got curves in my head, I ain't riding no ways. I'm a dirty bad baby and I'm here to stay. I'ma cut them in hell, better get out my way. I'll be rocking all white, walk around 3Ks. Round them down, I got a Big Mac. Bullets make them flip like crack. 1, 2, 3, 4 bitches in the back. I be pimping like that, sucking for some money, then I get right back. Dirty bad baby, the bitches love me, niggas hype me. I'ma push them with them yappas and choppers up at the spray and get to the Mac. And then I run through the back and I started banging, confiscating body parts. I'ma leave that little nigga brainless. Strip too hard, you can't ride this wave. I'm from Southside Texas, we'll be sitting sideways. Like a kid outside, I don't ever play games. Up and up with that big ol' yapa, I'm knocking off his face. In the kitchen, I be whipping the chicken, this finger licking. Money mission with him, get a little bitch, I'ma buy my business. Be creeping, no need to mention, it's purple when I be pissing. Big ol' thuka, I be gripping, cock it back, and I'ma kick.
Round with a fuego, I'ma give his ass a halo. I'ma make his ass lay low, switch it to a Draco. It's gonna do what I say so, I ain't getting caught, case closed.
todo lo que anhelo, eres el regalo que cayó del cielo. Quiero estar siempre a tu lado, hasta tus defectos me han enamorado. Y no puedo compararte, yo no he conocido a nadie que te iguale. Eres la mejor de todas, para describirte las palabras sobran. La protagonista de mi nueva historia, la que esperaba antes y estamos a solas. La que el día es feliz y siempre está presente, y gasta su tiempo solo en complacerme. Eres algo más que el amor de mi vida, eres el motivo de mis alegrías. Cuando estoy contigo no corren las horas, porque tienes todo lo que me enamora. Describirte las palabras sobran. La protagonista de mi nueva historia, la que es buena amante si estamos a solas. La que en días felices siempre está presente, y gasta su tiempo solo en complacerme. Eres algo más que el amor de mi vida, eres el motivo de mis alegrías. Cuando estoy contigo no corren las horas, porque tienes todo lo que me enamora. Eres en pocas palabras la protagonista de mi nueva historia, la que es buena amante si estamos a solas, la que me es feliz y siempre está presente, y gasta su tiempo solo en complacerme. Eres algo más que el amor de mi vida, eres el motivo de mis alegrías. Cuando estoy contigo no corren las horas, porque tienes todo lo que me enamora. Eres en pocas palabras la mejor de
Welcome back. This is Black on Black on Black. I really hope that you are enjoying the music. For those last set of songs, we started off with a Lowrider classic, Lowrider by War. And then we went to Texas Mexican by That Mexican OT. Love the infusion and the sampling of Suavemente to that. That is like, man, that's such a classic. Any party you want to get cracking here. Or probably, I think here, probably Texas.
Anywhere.
Probably anywhere with a significant Latino population in the United States. You've been on Suavemente. It's going down.
Suavemente. Besame. I mean, even, I'm not a huge, like, I love to dance. I really love to dance. But there's certain genres that I stay away from. I have to get up for Suavemente.
Suavemente is one of those ones, like, you're getting ready to leave. You're like, man, my feet.
Yeah, you're like, oh, damn it.
Well, at your wedding, we had friends, Shane and Sam, were getting ready to leave. Mm-hmm. They were getting ready to get on the shuttle. They had called a car.
Yeah.
They had a car. They were walking out.
Yeah.
And Suavemente came on. They both scuttled back in. You're like,
Suavemente.
You know what's funny? I I heard in like parts of Spain they actually use Suavemente to shut down a bar.
Really?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like it's the song that basically means get the fuck out.
Well,
and that people actually don't dance to.
Oh, I thought you meant like, oh, it's like the one last dance.
No,
get out. Oh,
no, okay. That's the, we're closing up, so we're gonna put on a quote unquote a trash song.
Oh,
I know, isn't that crazy? That's I was like, bizarre. Baby, they wouldn't get me out.
No, they definitely would, not. I'd be like, oh shit, get me out. Turn up.
Turn up. I need that one more, and you've done that.
Yeah.
So that just funny, just in terms of like how random music can differ.
Yeah,
random fact.
Yeah.
So yeah, after that we did La Bamba Rebide by Las Cafeteras. Las Cafeteras is from Los Angeles. They're just a group of friends, and actually they started out as a protest and marching band. And so most, if not all, of their songs are definitely resistance songs. Love that band. They periodically come down here to the Bay Area, and they play oftentimes at the New Parish in Oakland. Definitely check them out if you ever get the chance. The music that they play is Sonorocho, and actually that is from the Veracruz region, and it's the dance with it is really awesome because you basically put down a wooden box, and what they do is sort of like a tap dance on top of the box. It's incredible. Sorry. It's incredible to watch, and really, really powerful, sort of transformative folk.
Oh, bless you, D-Fantastic. Oh, thank you.
Bro, I'm trying to get my... Yeah, you got it. You got yourself. I love that. Wow. You got yourself. Get
well,
it.
Thank you. Thank
get
you
it.
So much.
Get yeah. it. Bless you. I hope a piece of your soul stays. Mm. And, if any of it's left. And on... And to round this out, we had La Mejor de Todas by Banda El Recodo, a Banda song, just to round us out for the selection.
Yep.
And back to you.
D-Fantastic. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, DJ Queen.
Sweet Queen.
I just kind of wanted to like have a moment where we just talked about Cinco de Mayo. So I got to ask you this. When did you realize it wasn't about Mexican Independence Day?
Bro.
At what age do you think?
I was definitely in my teens. I'll tell you that much. I was definitely in my teens.
Yeah.
I think... it was probably around junior or senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had, we were talking about, but they were just informing about the day. And then I think we had someone in the class who had just come from like Mexico and was like, what is this day? And yeah. And everyone turned to him and was like, it's about the other, and they're like, we do not celebrate this. It's not, which led our teacher to have to go into it a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's kind of when I realized it. I mean, it's very well talked about, I think, in the central part of the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Like between Oakland, Berkeley, and San Francisco, that information is widespread.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
know
yeah.
that like, hey, this is this very specific thing. It's not Mexico's Independence Day, which Mexico Independence Day is celebrated pretty heavily here.
Yeah, yeah, September 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's celebrated pretty heavily here in the Mission in particular.
Yeah. I think for me, probably the same. Probably high school.
Bro.
Like, where someone, I don't know how it got brought up, but became like a, you know, Cinco de Mayo is in Mexican Independence, right? And we're like,
whoa!
Oh, what? Like,
why is it in Spanish?
To be fair, I mean, I am from Texas. I'm from Texas, where they say "Remember the Alamo." So
wild.
You know, my education on Mexico was just, we were glad that we took our land back. You know how pissed I was to like get to college and be like, you know, I don't think that whole Texas and Mexico thing was a good thing for Texas.
I don't think it's a source of pride.
Like, I had a history professor who, it was Texas history professor. They make you take this at Texas universities, this Texas history. And it was at UT, extremely liberal college. And the Texas history professor, white dude, was like, yeah, you're about to learn about all the terrible things about Texas. And I was like,
Buckle up, baby. Buckle up,
yeah.
baby.
I mean, now, I had known a decent amount, but they were still really eye-opening on the terribleness of Texas and all of that.
I've always thought that the way that we teach history in this country is not correct and very much in a false light, because it's U.S. propaganda, essentially.
Well, of course, yeah.
And you know what? My favorite history class that I didn't know I was taking was when I was in college at UC Davis, and I was in my African-American studies minor. I took a class that pretty much taught history through immigration waves, mm-hmm. and linked it to policy and census data and critical court cases, mm-hmm. that kind of explained when did certain populations become not black?
Right.
And when did they become white?
Right.
And what were the cases that were won that kind of helped, and why did that happen? And I thought it was the most honest way,
yeah.
of really teaching U.S. history, and I wish that we had a class like that that was like mandatory,
right.
to learn it in immigration ways, because that was like the truest way to me of learning it. It was incredible.
Sure, yeah, but you got to remember, I mean, the truth that comes with that wouldn't allow for, you know,
it'll never happen.
Kids to be scooped up by the military.
It'll never happen.
Don't you want to be like Davy Crockett and that?
No,
you know, defend your land. You know, even though we haven't fought on American soil for mm-hmm. forever, but you mm-hmm. know, go off, I guess.
Do what you must.
Yeah,
right?
do what you must. Do what you must. So no, I mean, that's just the reality of it. So it wasn't until teen. So I mean, I feel like the mission gets pretty lit for Cinco de Mayo every year. At least in my experience. Like, when you got older, did you come out here for Cinco de Mayo?
No, when I was younger, I wasn't really. I mean, I feel like I wasn't partying really in San Francisco until after I graduated high school. And then when I was partying out here, I was going to the black areas.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't necessarily messing around in the mission, because you have to understand that back in the day, mission had a bunch of gang activity going on.
Right.
And so it wasn't necessarily the place that, if you don't know that area, if you're not from there, that you should just be walking around like that, you
right.
know?
Right.
So no, I didn't, I never came to the mission really to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. There were events in Oakland, though,
yeah,
that definitely happened, but the mission turns up for everything,
right?
Fourth of July,
that's
yo,
true.
Bro, you remember on 4th of July when that firework got kicked underneath that stroller? Wild,
just insane.
Wild. We were all like, oh my god, please don't let there be a baby in there.
Yeah,
it's crazy out here. It's much fun.
It's insane. Mm-mm. Yeah, no.
What about you? What did you do in Texas?
So I mean, for the most part, it was always just partying.
Yeah,
on that day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and high school and stuff, not really, obviously, but once you got out of high school, you're just kind of partying, like whether I went to, like, you know, my Mexican friends' house parties and stuff and doing that, or going to, you know, bars and drinking. I mean, it's just, that's just what it was, you know. And obviously I feel like I didn't really dive into it until I was older, you know, once I was not 20, you know.
I will also say, after living out here, not too much happens on Cinco de Mayo, because the mission isn't just Mexican American.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There's like folks who are actually like immigrants from Mexico, Mexican Americans, a Salvadorian. Like, there's a lot of different sort of Latino groups that are here, and so I don't feel like that is like the biggest celebration. They'll celebrate Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah.
Goes down.
Yeah.
In here. But Cinco de Mayo, I think because of the way other parts of San Francisco celebrate Cinco de Mayo, they don't want to attract that energy here.
Yeah.
They don't want tourists. They don't want people who aren't like actually in the culture to come here wearing their sombreros and like doing all that. They heavily discourage that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think it goes down as much.
Yeah.
I there's definitely house parties, for sure,
right?
But I don't, the bars over here tend to like, they'll have some things, you know, but it's not as like in other parts of San Francisco. It's like,
yeah, like North Beach.
Yeah, bro. North Beach. My god,
I
want to see some hate crimes going down to North Beach.
Yeah. I'll never forget, in like the first like year or two that I was living here, me and my husband, we went out and we were at some dive bar per use for Cinco de Mayo, just kind of hanging out and drinking or whatever, and we're getting real cool with the dive bar people. And then a bunch of fucking people walk in and they're wearing sombreros and just, you know, just being super obnoxious, and they're like ordering something from the bar, and I don't know what went down, but like eventually the bartender was like, get your racist ass out of my bar. Like, kick them all out. Mind you, everyone else that was in there was obviously drinking because of Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, they were. It was egregious. It was like, come on, guys.
Usually.
And honestly, what is it about the sombrero? I don't know if I've ever worn one. Maybe?
Too many people? I don't know. It's a stereotype that made its way into all of our cartoons. Like, think about Speedy the Mouse.
Speedy Gonzalez? Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy the Mouse, bro. He was a mouse. Oh, my God. What do you want me to do?
Jerry was also a mouse. You got to make the distinction.
Yeah, but Speedy the Mouse. You know what I'm saying. Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Like, you think about those stereotypes.
And the poncho.
Yeah, and in general, even the way that they displayed Mexico, like this barren desert
with a
bunch of tumbleweeds, right?
Yeah.
If you have never been, it does not look like that.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Mexico is big. It would be like
portraying California. Like, there's shit ton of deserts out here. No one is like, oh, California is just some barren wasteland.
It's crazy.
And I also love how when you're watching a show and it's like, they're in Mexico somehow. Now everything's like this weird orange color. You know, it's like, what is that? Why is it always like orange, like sepia?
Yeah.
Whenever you go to Mexico or like, you know, Honduras or Africa. Africa, it's always that color too. It's like, what?
This is not the real color. And all you see is like cartels on
yeah,
the TV.
People just like getting shot up, and it's like, come on, man.
Like, that's not, you know, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. That is some weird sort of stereotypes that the United States has chosen, in the same way that the way they portray people from Brazil. Brazil has the second largest black population outside of Nigeria. You would not know it from watching sort of Brazilian based shows.
They don't
it's not something that for some reason we're not interested in telling that story.
Yeah.
And it does a disservice to that place and to the diversity of the people that actually live there.
Of course. And so it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, so we both watch 90 Day Fiancé because it's trash. It's absolutely hilarious.
Oh my God, I love
it. But one of the things
Fiancé
that frustrates me the most is when, you know, like the immigrant or soon to be immigrant, they come over to America to live with their true love, and it's in the middle of like North Dakota, and they're like, what do you mean it's not New York City? And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what did you think?
Did you not do a Google search?
But it reminds me of how media portrays, like you said, Brazil. So like Americans could probably go to Brazil and they're like, what do you mean there's black people here? And it's
so
like
many.
I mean, like,
so many.
How do you not know
black?
I would forgive this if it was like the 1970s and there was no internet.
Yeah,
but now
it's unforgivable. It's really unforgivable.
It's truly unforgivable.
Like a simple Google search and a search about that population of that area is all you need to know.
I mean, and you know, honestly, and we made up this Google Maps game because it's hilarious. It's called Lost, where we basically drop like the little Google Maps person and we, you know, have to find our way out. But anyways, honestly, if you don't know what an area looks like, if you're about to marry some nigga from North Dakota, you could literally put the city in maps, drop the person in the middle of the city, and
be just
like,
walk around.
Oh,
be like, wow.
Oh, this is what it looks
look
like.
Look at all these cows.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Look at all these cows. Like, look at all these things.
Like, I truly don't understand. It blows my mind just how confused people are, apparently.
It's how much we just don't learn about the world, even given all the tools that we have.
Yeah. Oh, so my husband is listening. He wanted to offer clarification of what that was. So at the bar,
I love it. Phone in.
Yeah, the guy was mad because it was cash only. He argued that they should take his card, and she was like, "Get the fuck out with your racist ass outfit." And then he gave the shocked Pikachu face. We got to drink the drinks she made for him and his buddies for free.
Yeah, it reminds me of that Burning Man or any other things when because there are indigenous people who do go to Burning Man, and they will run up on you in your little feathers if that's what you're going
to
do.
The trauma of that, to me, I feel like as a black person, like if there was a big festival like that, that was like blackness, and it was a bunch of white people
blackness
being like, their
minstrel shows
yeah,
that showed up as minstrel characters.
I couldn't go. I couldn't go. I, and I'm I'm all more power to the indigenous people that can go to that, because mm-hmm. because I don't think for my own sanity that I could do that.
Yeah. I mean, something I am curious about, are there any other holidays that could easily be commodified by the white community, like Cinco de Mayo? Do those already exist?
You know, I feel like we're two steps away with it with MLK Day.
And Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, we still got a hold on it, because I feel like white people are always going to be like, oh, well, the bad white people are going to be like, we let them go, you know? Yeah. But MLK, it's like, you know, he was the good one. You know, he didn't put up a fight. He just said peace. And, you know, they didn't have to fight too much. Mm. You know, I feel like we're two steps away from MLK Day being really commodified.
Yeah.
Although I will say, and I love us, I love black people so much, can we stop with the event cards with MLK's face on it and like strippers' asses? Can we stop with that?
Yo, you see that one with Sexy Red on it?
Can like we?
Yo,
I love
yo,
us
MLK's
so
daughter came hard for that. Like,
I love
no.
us, but we can we not do that?
Yeah, I you know there it's like if you're on the island, some groups are going to act in certain ways, other groups sure. are going to do what they're going to do.
Sure,
I think together we can all recognize that that is a step too far, right. and. People gonna do what they gonna do.
I know. I saw one, and it was like
niggas gonna
MLK like they put a backwards hat on that nigga
and a grill,
put a chains on a grill, and he was sipping out of like a double cup styrofoam, and I was like, come on,
why do you have MLK do it?
Why do we?
That was a whole preacher. That was a doctor. That was a whole preacher, bro.
Yeah, Dr. MLK, and it's like the MLK party, and it's like, I just, come on, y'all, please. And I'm not a prude, please.
At all.
But,
at
you know,
all. We don't need to do it.
Can we just respect the man?
We don't need to do it.
No.
Like, we just, like, let him rest in peace.
Yes, let us celebrate in whatever ways. If we want to turn up, turn up. But why we gotta throw his face into
it? I mean, especially if his family is like, don't do it. And they put out things every year.
To say stop.
Say, don't do it.
Yeah.
And yet, white people still do it. It is...
Yeah. So, anyways, we're on both sides of the spectrum. Black people cutting up and white people cutting up with MLK Day. So we're close. We're close to being really commodified, I think, in my opinion.
Do you feel like there's other holidays that are kind of like Cinco de Mayo, where they represent a subculture and... Maybe the celebration of it doesn't tend to be grounding in like actual history. Like the one that comes to mind is St. Patrick's Day. You know, I feel like there's a lot of these holidays that are very uniquely a bastardization of a subculture in American culture that only exists here, and things kind of get a little warped about them.
But St. Patrick's Day is funny because it originated in America.
Yeah.
So it's like odd. It's I mean, odd,
the holiday of Cinco de Mayo kind of
right.
is its own sort of thing here in the States.
Yeah.
It only is celebrated. And it's not celebrated in the same way.
Right.
In Puebla. Like, I think those are like...
Yeah. No, no. But I will say St. Patrick's Day is a good one. Because it is like, yeah, go party, but also, like, you know.
Yeah, I think...
That dude was a saint.
Or, like, I think Hanukkah's not that celebrated. Hanukkah's a very uniquely heavily celebrated thing here.
Oh.
In the States because it's the counterpoint to Christmas.
Right.
It's the counterpoint
to
Christmas.
It's not celebrated by Jewish people everywhere? Really?
It's not a major holiday. Huh. It's not a major holiday. Passover is the other one's a major. Hanukkah's not the major one.
I see. Okay.
You know, it's like, well, if they're going to have Christmas, we got to have something else.
Right.
And so that's how Hanukkah became more of a bigger thing.
Right. Right.
And so like, I think, or like Kwanzaa. Can we just decide that we should just let that go?
I think it's time.
Like, can we just decide that, like, you know what?
We tried really
hard. That was a moment and that was a time.
Yeah.
And now we don't.
If my kids want to try Kwanzaa, I will try it again. I remember I tried with my parents and we just, you know.
I'm down to let it go.
It's okay. You know, we blackify everything else. That's the most important
part.
Yeah. You know, but all right. Well, before we go, we'll close out with some music and just another shout out to the events going on this Friday. We've got Trixie Mattel is at the Fox Theater in Oakland. And also on Friday, we have AAPI Heritage Month pop-up at Levi's Plaza. thank you for listening to Black on Black on Black. It's Black D-Fantastic and
DJ Sweet Queen.
Scott. We're here every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your Cinco de Mayo. You know, drink tequila or not. You know, celebrate the fight of the resistance. Yep,
ground more in the actual day.
Yeah. And up next, we've got Hell's Kitchen by John Hell. So whatever's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of hell with John Hell. And play us out, Queen.
Get it. Enjoy, everyone.
See y'all next week.
Nobody tell me shit, cause I got cutters, motherfucker. Bitch, I'm burnt until I die. No, I can't be nobody other. So my chopper is the only thing we got, is just each other. I'm the type that need the walls up when they ballin', cause I'm gutter. I ain't fuck your sister, bitch, I'm just a motherfucker. Nah, I'm lying, I knocked her ass down too, and we got in lots of trouble. Fuck Mexican OT and fuck his rap, see, just a bitch. Oh, I'm virtual till I die. No, yes, sir, I'm with the shits. On 288, swinging elbows like I'm in the UFC. My chopper got a mind of his own, so if it shoot, it ain't on me. I stay out the L, cause I'm a G. Bad bitch with me, she stay on fleet. Miami hit up a show, shoot a three, call my chopper kid because then I got a knee. Yes, bitch, I'm cut, throw no love, ho. We gon' get them done, foe. Hop out with these sticks, I told my Theo, let that muck blow. Mismatch my design, that got me feeling like I'm Luffo. Hit a bitch, can't afford my washing, I ain't got time for itty bitty bro, ho. Hey, yo, is that that Mexican OT? Can't nobody tell me shit, cause I got cutters, motherfucker. Bitch, I'm burnt until I die. No, I can't be nobody other. So my chopper is the only thing we got, is just each other. I'm the type that need the walls up when they ballin', cause I'm good. I was deep in that water, swimming with them fishes. Them crate on me missions, I was jumping fences. I came out of mud like a victim of ditches. Everywhere I go, got a Glock in my breech. Cut them up, not a doctor giving them some stitches. A beam on the yapper, I ain't never missing. Double D's on the cutter, and then they got extensions. In the south side of Texas, double cup, we sipping. South side stepping, I'm player made. I pull up if I miss it with mini made. If it's drama, you want, we pull up, we used to. I ain't calling them, cause I'm one deep in this thing. Ready for one, straight up like a soldier. The toolie gon' knock your head right off your shoulder. I'm acting the fully while pushing the stall on my grandma. Make cookies, they got me on slow-mo.
Virgil, you have everything under control. It is all in your mind. The world is now in your hands. Finish him!
Can't nobody tell me shit, cause I got cutters, motherfucker. Bitch, I'm burnt until I die. No, I can't be nobody other. So my chopper is the only thing we got, is just each other. I'm the type that need the walls up when they ballin', cause I'm gutter.
Jugando en city.